Pablo on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Ten minutes after 8 o'clock. Got some clouds, a little bit of light rain going on in the area. A river level on the red as of 6 o'clock this morning, 8.04 feet, and on the rise. We'll keep our eye on that. Well, it's Thursday, and I love this half hour. I love this segment, although I've got a very disgruntled-looking Tom Schmaltz here because we don't have coffee here in the station today, but we're working on it.
Yes.
We'll get to Tom with the morning zoo. I just don't know. You know, I'm probably going to throw his game off. We are talking Wapton history with our favorite history teacher, Jana Gageland. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
We had a great conversation last week about outdoor games. Outdoor games through the years, through the decades here. Locally, and you've got a few more to talk about.
Well, yeah, I, you know, we had long winters, you know, way back when, and so we had to have things to do. And again, the people, when they came, they brought with them what they knew. Mm-hmm. And so if you look back at some of the early games that they brought and that we learned to play from them, checkers was a big one. I mean, I've got 1885 newspaper that says Bert Spalding has found a man in Davilo whom he never yet beat at checkers. I mean, so this was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
Yeah. And then there was another one in 1887 where they had a table, a desk, and a backgammon game for sale. I mean, it just came with, like, new furniture.
Well, backgammon, so, yeah, that's one you never think of either.
Yeah. And then in 1887... the Fort Abercrombie Scout. Fort Abercrombie Scout. So there was the fort there. They had their own newspaper. And then this one says, the more we play checkers, the more we are convinced that we don't know the first rudiments of the game. So they were playing that at
At Fort Aber.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day. I love this.
In 1888, we have a couple of ads where they're selling checkers. The old checkers had that star in the middle, you know, and they were made of wood. And, and so that's what they were selling, polished checkers with the star. And chess, boxwood, neatly carved boxwood. And then they also had dominoes. So now we bring dominoes into the picture.
Okay,
so,
that shows up.
Yeah, yeah. So our games aren't really expanding, but we're actually, you know, again, passing on from one generation to the other. You know,
didn't a lot of businesses like barbershops and stuff have a checkers board set up in there, too, where people would just stop in and shoot the breeze and play?
Yep, and a lot of them were called porch games, you know, where people would sit outside maybe in decent, you know, weather.
Right.
But, you know, again, you know, we needed something to do on the cold and rainy days other than being outside working. So
sure, or playing games outside. Yeah, we talked about outside games last week.
So in 1889, we have a whist party that was held.
Whist.
So now we got cards coming in. And it doesn't say anything about bridge, but it does talk about cards. 1890. The champion checker player from Minnesota is going to take on the champion of the United States in checkers, and they're going to play 12 games. And when they got done, they each won six. So I don't know. You know, they put some pretty good checker players.
I've heard checkers referred to as poor man's chess before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the same board.
Yeah.
You know, just different pieces.
Different ways of moving around the board.
And then, you know, you had kids and living in their sod houses or whatever. And so you would have little girls making rag dolls because money wasn't, out there, you know. So you had to come up with things of your own. And so they made rag dolls and probably stitched in some eyes and nose, mouth, whatever. But they used what they had.
Right. Buttons and, everything else.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked about the major ones, but then you think back, okay, we move on to the next generations, and pickup sticks?
Yes.
You know, I actually bought one a couple years ago. I had
for real?
The giant one. So they were really long sticks, and, you know, so I was teaching some of the younger family members how to play pickup sticks.
I think that was one of the first games I ever played when I was a little kid. Mom brought it in. She brought it home, and it was in like a canister. It was a long tube.
Right.
And then I just dumped them out, and she taught me how to do that.
Yeah, you just stand over them or over a piece of the floor and dump them out and make sure the black one's out of there because you need that one.
You got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now it takes me back. Love reminiscing
Well,
with
yeah,
you.
This is good. How about paper dolls? You know, again, moving forward, but, you know, paper dolls were around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually graduated to paper dolls that had magnets in them. The doll had a magnet, and the dresses had magnets or whatever type of clothing. And so they would stay on, because in the early ones, you had those little things you had to bend.
Oh, yeah,
know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't really stay in place very, very well. He stood them up, and, yeah, they just didn't last that way very long. Have you heard of Jax?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Played Jax, a lot of Jax when I was a kid.
Right. Now, those were metal.
Mm-hmm.
And now some of the ones you find are plastic. And I think that they probably use it in an educational setting because it's good hand-eye coordination.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So
it really is.
The Jax might be larger than the ones that we used to play with.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think kids maybe play them a little bit, not so much.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I was good at Jax.
Were you?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I built up my skills.
That was your game.
That was my game.
Okay. How about Cat's Cradle?
I don't remember that. We talked about that before we went on mic here. I don't remember it.
Yeah, it was a long string, then it was tied at you know, the ends were tied together, so it became like a loop.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it in your fingers, and you come up with this design. And then you would then take the string from my hands using another design, and then you would pull it up out of my fingers, and then you would start, and I would bring back another one. It was just constant, you know, going. It's good sit there.
Good brain food, definitely.
Yeah, you could sit there for a while, and it was pretty easy, and you could just chat.
Sure.
You know? So you didn't have to think because it was pretty easy to play. I know a lot of people mention Monopoly as a game that they played. You know, 1939, I found one at my grandparents'. And in 1939, they were playing Monopoly, you know, and they had the old style. Now you've got Monopoly of...
Oh, you got three or four or five or six different versions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, for sure. Simon Says.
Do you remember playing that?
Yeah, Simon Says. You know, you could play that in your living room. You didn't have to be outside. You could still play it inside. I don't know the name of this thing, but we used to make them where you would have a piece of paper, and it had to be square. And then you would fold the corners in to the middle.
Okay.
And then you would fold them again. And so it came out that you had these little holes or openings, and then you would move these things.
I know what you're talking about.
And then
you've got it in my
write
head.
Things on the inside.
That's right.
You'd ask a question, you know, like, what is your favorite number? And then you'd go then 1, 2, 3, 4, and then what is your, you know, then the question.
I don't know what they're called. I got that picture in my head.
Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah.
Is a name
there
for that.
There's got to be a name for it.
Yeah. Who knows? But so, and then, you know, the whist cards, you know, and Pinochle and those types of things. You saw your family members playing them.
Right.
You know, and so then you learned that game just by watching. There wasn't any book that you had that had strategies in it. But you might say, well, why did you do that? Or they might say to you, I did this because.
Sure.
You know, so they kept the traditions going. You know, whist was a big deal.
Cards. Good stuff.
Pinochle.
And again, this came from the people that came here, people that settled there. They brought their games with them. It's like something to pass the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they made up any games. They may have.
Right.
But, yeah, it was basically a way to stay busy and yet in some ways educational.
Good stuff.
So, yeah.
Janet, listen, we're out of time. I could talk about this all day. But we got to get to the morning zoo here.
Yep.
You coming back next week?
I will.
Okay.
I will be here.
All right. We'll see what you're up to then.
You never know.
Janet Gageland talking Wapton history here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. It's the second annual Dakota Territory Gun Collectors Association Gun Show. This event will be on Saturday, April 22nd and Sunday, April 23rd at the Wapton Event Center. Saturday's show runs 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. Sunday's hours are 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. Admission $10 and free
free for children under 12. Law enforcement and active military also free. Come out and buy, sell, trade, or just look at what the dealers have on display. For more information, go to www.dtgca.org. Wahpeton Gun Show, Saturday.